Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Drum and then some and then pop till you drop. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 20th and 21st. Too much going on. Again, Happy New Year. Proudly Universal Rack and Fin Radio when a season opens. Indeed, cause for New Year's celebration. Good luck to the youth turkey hunters today. And the turkey season kicks off on Monday and runs through pretty much till the like 24th, 25th of May, whatever. We'll get more into that a little later on in the show. Plenty of trout out there being stocked. I was on a run. What was it, earlier this week? I happened to be up in the central Jersey region, met up with two great, outstanding guys, Zach Mahan and Brian Hankins from the central region lands management crew. They're Bureau of Wildlife Management. They're based out there in Assunpink. Stocked the Shark River, stocked Franklin Lake, and also Spring Lake. And I'll tell you, these guys put out a lot of trout. And a big shout out to Lou Brock. God bless the guy. He's about 80 years old in a little corner in the Shark River. That little stretch of stream couldn't have been 10, 12 feet wide at the point. Yanked out a couple of standard stockies and then pulls one in about 17 inches, easily 2 pounds. And he said, "This is a big trout." Well, good for you, Lou. Good for you, man. That was a great catch. Another shout out to Mr. Pagano from Little Egg Harbor. Thanks for listening, man. Ran into in a parking lot. Not going to mention where, but hats off to you, man. Thanks for being a fan of Rack and Fin Radio. Okay, some trout by the numbers real fast. It's one end. This is the last full week for South Jersey. We're really going to get hit now. The numbers really dwindle. Lake Shenandoah on Monday. Lake Shenandoah, 420. Matiticonk, North Branch, 320. Matiticonk, South Branch, 500. Toms River, 530. And Toms River Trout Conservation Area, 210. And Prospertown Lake, 290. Remember, on the Matiticonks and the Toms, you have to wait until 5 p.m. on Monday. Tuesday, Grenlock Lake, 300. Hamilton Lake, 440. Heritage Park Pond, 330. Laurel Pond, 200. Oak Pond, 330. Rowan's Pond, 100. Same for Gloucester City Pond. Now, Wednesday to Cohansey, 100. Remember, Cohansey just has one stocking point now. Morris River, 330. Ponder Lodge Pond, 370. Shaw's Mill Pond, 400. South Vineland Park Pond, 370. Tuckahoe Lake, 420. Thursday to 25th, Greenwich Lake, 360. Harrisonville Lake, 360. Iona, my Sharona, 330, and Swedesboro, 410. On Friday, which is rare for South Jersey being stocked, Crystal Lake, 420, Pemberton Lake, 420, and Pahakon Lake, they're Route 9 and Tuckerton Air, 480. Now, just remember, Crystal Lake and South Vineland Park Pond and Grenlock Lake were dosed with those bonus brood stock before opening day. Fish up to 6-7 pounds, and there are still plenty of them swimming around. Okay, coming up in our next segment, Captain Brett Taylor, talking popping bass. And later on in the show, Lou Gambale, National Wild Turkey Federation, early season, first 2 weeks, turkey tactics. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
As I mentioned earlier, that drum bite that's happening up in Barnegat Bay, I'm hearing a little bit about Great Bay. We were down the other day, didn't see much, but are the fish moving north? The drum are sort of getting everyone's attention. But this is prime time back bay. I know we've been catching with the bloodworms and some. Say I'm a sandworm man myself. So is my lovely Dee Marie. But now it's popping time. The bass are hopping. Time to start popping these shallow water stripers in the back along the sedge banks is so much friggin' fun. It is my prime time of the spring, besides the turkeys and the trout. I love fishing for stripers in the back this time of year, especially with the poppers and sometimes the twitch baits. Join us online right now, very special guest from Real Reaction Charters, Captain Brett Takesem Taylor, a master of the Back Bay popping scene, among others. And this guy is an area rug cleaner when it comes to the flatties. Captain Brett, thanks for joining us. Short notice, but man, it's about to happen in the back on top. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. I love it.
Brett, I'm just like, the hair's on my, part of my body standing up by that, man. The popping action that's actually been going on now for a week or more from what we're seeing and what I'm hearing. What say you about this back action?
Getting the stripers on the poppers early season is awesome. You're fishing, we're fishing a lot of really skinny areas, marshy areas where, boats that only with shallow drafts can get into. But the bass action, when you're popping, they explode on them. And as that temperature gets warmer, it gets better. you know, and that's where we're at right now. It's the temperatures. We had some nice temperatures this week. Hopefully it just continues.
Now, Brett, as this time of year now, as it progresses, you said the water gets a little warmer. Do they get more aggressive? Because some of the smashes, thrashes, and hits we had, bass look pretty damn aggressive. And although, Brett, again, it is with a smaller bait. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what, you know, once you get that those water temperatures, I like to see over 50, 55, 60. The bay water has been hovering 55, you know, in that mid-50s, but this past week, you know, again, you're fishing shallower areas, so it might be 65, and that's where those bass, they'll be much more active, especially, you know, you're not catching 37, 40-inch cows. You're catching, you know, more, you're anything from 18 all the way up to maybe 30 inches. You might get a few of those in the back, but they get more aggressive, and yes, they're feeding on small stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, Brett, the primary forage bag. Listen, this is just too much fun. On your freshwater bass tackle, if you have such a thing, leave those jetty and surf rods home, man. In fact, Brett, our medium action and even light action outfits that we're using, a lot of fun, and the bass they're full of piss and vinegar, man.
Yeah, I like the I think 7 foot medium. You don't even need medium heavy. Medium, just something that you can you whip it out there, get that popper out there. You're fishing a lot of. I fish a lot of points. I try to get my clients, we fish a lot of points where ambush areas where the bass will be.
Boom.
And then you're just, you're casting out, and then you're just popping, and sometimes you got to go slow. It might be a little bit slower pop. Other times, they get more aggressive. They like a little bit faster. So you have to always vary it up. We always try to start really slow and just a pop, let it sit, pop, pop, let it sit. And that's what, and you see if you can elicit a bite. You work a few areas and then you keep moving on. That's what and I'll get into the trolling motor later, but that's been very beneficial to working different areas in the back.
Right. What are the bass chasing now? What are they feeding on in the back along those sedge banks, mud flats? What do you think?
Well, you got some spearing back there already. You got there are some bunker, but it's not obviously those are more in the fall. A lot of they're feeding on even crustaceans, shrimp, even small crabs.
Crabs,
a lot of it's just those small spearing. A lot of it's spearing in the back.
Right, your favorite topwater bass now. Color important, and give us a size. You're looking at 3.5, 4 inches, 5, maybe a little more, maybe a little less.
Yeah, 3.5. That's perfect. 3.5, 4, 5, 5. A little bit big, but I like that in that zone of 3 to 4.5, we'll say. And as far as I'm a big proponent, I like the Yozori, the 3D poppers. I think they're the quality they have and the color schemes they have are good. As far as color, bone white, can't go wrong with that. Black and gold is a big one. Black and gold, especially in the if you fish a little bit in the evening. I do more in the around dinner time. That's a very good color, especially if you're in the marshes. That black and gold. That's the primary color. Sometimes we'll use the Rapala skitter walks. They're awesome. You can use and they have a bunch of different chartreuse. They have a bunch of different color combinations that are pretty good. But those skitter walks are nice too. So we kind of vary between the poppers and the skitter walk. The skitter walk kind of does like a walk the dog.
Right, right.
Walk the dog presentation. So they're really good. So that's the, you're only fishing. We might only be fishing up to 4 feet at the most.
A lot of times that's a blast, man.
Yeah, a lot of times it's 3 feet. You wouldn't believe that some of those bass are migrating into 2 feet, especially on the flood tide. I like the, you want to have moving water. So you either want the incoming flood or you want the outgoing the best because that's going to be your warmest water.
Captain Brett, time of day, light conditions, does that influence your choice of colors for your baits?
Yeah, it does. I like fishing either early morning or late, in the evening, especially where we're popping those marshes and stuff. I don't like really fishing middle of the day. But yes, that'll be, when it's lighter, as it gets lighter, then you're using that, that bone white, obviously dark. You want that. We'll fish the blurp bowl. We'll fish the black and gold, straight black, when it gets dark. And the big thing is if you're fishing in the dusk and where it gets dark. Once it sets and it gets dark, sometimes the bite will pause a bit for them to get used to the light conditions. Mm-hmm. It might pause for like a half hour. It might slow down. And then once it's like pitch black, they adjust, and you'll see all of a sudden the bite will pick up again. They get back on the feed.
Joining us on the Rockfin line this morning is Captain Brett. He takes him. I love that. I made that up, man. He takes him, Taylor. Real Reaction Charters, based out of Barnegat or Weirton, Brett.
I do trips out of Weirton, and also I do pickups at Barnegat Light at Bobby.
That's it. Okay. Well, Brett, listen, we're up against a hard break. I want to have you in for another segment. But I noticed, fishing with you this several times, sometimes you're just working it, and DeMarie had success with this as well. Sometimes you're just doing gurgle pop, and other times you went, boom! I mean, you really got aggressive for a couple of pulls on a popper. What made you vary it like that?
You know, sometimes it really just got me.
I mean, Brett, that last one was loud. Like, pop!
They whack that thing so hard that the popper's down their throat. The big thing is, you know, you got to vary. If you're not getting a hit, if you're not getting any hits at all, you're not getting any touches, no boils, you know, you try to look to see if there's any boils behind it. Sometimes they miss. A lot of times they may miss a first swipe. So that's where you want to, you kind of want to vary it. So if you're not getting anything, say you're doing a real slow pause, pop, you know, then vary it up. Then maybe try a couple pops, maybe switch up, do a skitter walk, see if they walk the dog. It really depends on their feeding. And then that can change with the tide. You know, that can change with their, they change. It's almost like, you know, how tog changed, the bite can change in an instant. Bass can do that too. So they can get a little bit finicky, especially if you're catching, if you pull a fish out where you're, you know, if you're fishing a little, we'll say a little point and you're pulling a fish or two out of there, you'll see that bite will, you might kill that bite because you're pulling fish out of there. They might get a little skittish. Mm-hmm. So that's where you move on to the next point or move on to the next hole.
Well, Captain Brett, when they get really aggressive, I believe you had mentioned once that sometimes, you know, have a small school around, hey, man, there's a bait, there's something neat, and they'll get aggressive. You get fish trying to outrace each other to hit that. Have you seen that this time of year early?
Yeah. You'll have bass follow it. You'll have another one follow it because it's that competition. They see one have it or one goes after it, then you have another one smack it. So that happens, and that happens. A lot of our coastal species will compete like that.
Okay, we're up against the hard break with Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Charters. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Back bays are hopping. Time to get popping or popping, hopping, whatever. It's just a great time to be in the back. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The Biden administration via the ATF last week announced changes to rules they say will close the so-called gun show loophole. But what is this often cited loophole? Some argue it doesn't exist, but it refers to a possibility of someone buying a firearm at a gun show under the guise of a private sale in which a background check isn't necessary. They contend criminals buy their guns this way. And the rule changes now in progress at ATF would require more sellers hold federal firearms licenses as dealers by essentially changing the standard of selling firearms as a livelihood to selling them for a profit. In turn, this would theoretically require more background checks. But the National Shooting Sports Foundation points to data saying fewer than 1% of criminals admit to buying guns in this manner, where more than half admit to buying stolen firearms or just stealing the guns themselves. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below, back inside Rack and Fin, ready to meet Tom P. Weekend of April 20th and 21st. Joining us online is Captain Brett Takes Him Taylor, Real Reaction Charters, based out of Weirton, but he also picks you up at Barnegat Light. Talking, he's an ace. Talk about back bay stripers, light tackle action with the poppers, man. It is just balls to the wall, great fishing when you hit it right. Well, Captain Brett, one thing I noticed, sometimes you'll angle out from the bank where you pretty much need pinpoint casting. Maybe the water's that skinny or that shallow. And other times you didn't tuck in close, but almost an underhand flip would get it. In both situations, the stripers were all over the poppers. When do you decide you can get close, and when do you say, damn, time to back off to reach these fish? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. The I use the trolling motor a lot. You know, you've been on the boat. I have two boats. The skiff is like my popping machine. That's what I use for the back bay stuff. So I use that motor, and I try to use, I will try to get ahead of the hole or ahead of the point. It becomes a lot of pinpoint casting, as you said, and I'll spot lock that boat a ways away so that we're not disturbing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Other times where it's a little bit deeper because some of those sedge banks, you know, even though you're going through 2-3 foot, all of a sudden you have these deeper holes and you have a stretch where you may have 10, it might drop down 10 feet. There, some of those cases, you can get a little bit closer, not to spook. The big thing is the main engine's never on, right? So that mm-hmm. that trolling motor, it becomes, you know, you can trolling motor some of the shallow areas, you can even push pull, like Florida style, but that becomes the key, is that you don't want to spook the fish. That they can get a little skittish with that. So that's where, you know, the deeper holes I can move a little bit closer. When it's shallower, we're fishing those points, that's where I want to stay back. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disturb anything. Sometimes we're in the, you know, we were in, I think, 3 feet of water, so I have to bring that trolling motor up so I'm not disturbing, even kicking up the mud.
Right.
Because if based on the current flow, I don't want, you know, disturbed water going into where we're fishing, we're throwing those poppers.
Well, Captain, one thing I noticed too, it happens several times, the popper hits the water, you don't even maybe get one pop out of that. Boom, they're on it. Or sometimes it just hits them, boom, they're on it. And other times you're working it, and you're just about to lift out for another cast. Son of a bitch, there they are, man. Right, they're hitting right at, you know, a rod length away. What is that behavior pattern with them? Is that, again, just like they don't trust what they see at first, or is it competition or what? That drove me crazy because I kept lifting it out of the water and missing the strikes.
I think it's a combination. I think sometimes when you're fishing those points, especially say we have an incoming, or, you know, the tidal flow is going one way, they're going to be ambushing. So sometimes they'll be kind of just staying in the current, almost like a trout. Then as soon as once you throw that popper, and if you're in the vicinity, bang, they hit. Other times you might have them where the striper's kind of, maybe it's not a single hole, more of it's a longer cut, and they may be patrolling that cut back and forth. So this where you're, you know, you throw it, maybe the bass isn't there right away. You're popping, popping, popping. Then that bass notices, because all the poppers have rattles, right? So they all have rattles. Plus the noise of the popping, you know, you peak his interest, you peak the bass's interest, and bang, it hits. Maybe it hits 5 feet, 6 feet off that point, but because it picked the vibration up, and then that's where it hits. And again, a lot of times, let him take it. You know, you're popping. If he misses, give it a pause, pop, 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 because a lot of times they will come back and hit it. And trust me, when they're when they're coming up through that water with their mouth open, they're pushing a lot. They are pushing water. So sometimes they actually push the popper out of the way, you know, so that's where you get those miss hits.
He said that for my benefit, people.
Nah, you were right on. You
I don't know, brother. I was like, did he say, what are you doing?
You two are spot on. I can't say anything about you. You got your casting was perfect.
Captain Brett, let me ask you this size-wise. Before, I want to get back to the electric motor and the tackle. Mono line versus fluorocarbon line versus braid, leaders, what have you, tying direct. But as you mentioned before, we saw fish anywhere from 18, we had them up to 23, 24. I've seen fish, and as you said yourself, up to 28, 30 inches back there. Are they schooling insofar as size, all pretty much the same size? And are the bigger fish in pods, pairs, or are they loners? What have you found over your decades of doing this?
So most of the time they are schooling in the same size class, most of the time. You will have a few stragglers come in, especially if we have, it seems like when we have a northeast blow or an east blow for a little bit, and those bass are migrating, you will have some bigger fish move in there. But for the most part, those fish are in that all that class, anywhere from, we'll just say, 16 inches all the way up to 26 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the size class that they'll kind of school with. You have some resident, you know, some of those fish are resident fish. You'll tend to, if the migratory ones come up, and that's where if we have a blow, that sometimes those fish will come inside the bay, and you will find them in some of the estuaries. Those will tend to be the little bit larger size fish. And they can be a few. I wouldn't say there's huge schools of them, but there's a few, I would say, more stragglers in there.
Captain Brett, now you're on the pro staff of many manufacturers. Let's get to the tacklers. Like I said, like Brett said, light action. We like 6.5 to 7 foot. Sometimes I'll go down to 6. I like, again, because I'm freshwater. I just love that whole thing. But Brett, keying in now on these bits, again, because you came around to a big fish, do you prefer mono, braid, or these fluorocarbon lines? Now, finally, after decades, again, using spinning tackle, the lines are manageable. Sensitivity, yeah. Lack of stretch for the braid with a leader, or do you tie direct? What's the dealio?
Yeah, so I use a lot of those. I will use braid. I like the Berkley. I am pro staff for Pure Fishing, but the Berkley sure. X9 is ridiculously smooth, silky smooth. I love it for fluking. I like it for bass. Tons of sensitivity with it. So I'll use what, maybe 15 pound, 20 pound braid. Then I use a.
Brett, that's like 4 pound mono.
Yeah,
diameter-wise, or even 3.
And then what I do is I'll either use a very small barrel, and then tie to a small tactical, let's say 12 pound to 15 pound fluoro. I like the fluoro mono. Since fluorocarbon, I use all my fishing. I do fluoro except for toggin. Then I'll do either, sometimes I'll do, if we're real sticky and we're losing a lot, I'll do the mono. It's just a little bit, it's cheaper. But fluoro has become the main player for me as far as the zero visibility for the fish in the water. And then I'll tie that to I like the TA clips, the tactical angler clips, all the small. And they're nice because you can quickly go, especially in the dark, you can go from a popper to a skitter, skitter pop. You can go to a pencil popper, whatever you're going to put on, it can be very quick, even soft plastics. That tactical anger clips are, you need those.
Shout out to Alberto Nee on that one.
Yeah,
that's his baby, man.
I use those in a lot. The only application I don't use it in is fluke, but that's a different, whole nother segment. So that's the basic setup. As far as leader length, maybe 16 inches, 12
right.
inches. Not a lot for that with the poppers. But you're using pretty light. Like I said, 7 foot medium. I like the St. Croix is a big one. I like their Avid series.
Oh yeah.
Even though they're it's a freshwater series, but I use those for fluking too. But for bass, they're perfect especially for this type of popping. They have a little bit fast action tip. Plus they can handle it. Plus you feel it. I mean the rod's like kind of doubled over when you're fighting. It's nice when you're. For the poppers.
Captain Brett, let's jump back again because it was intriguing. Listen, it changed the game forever. The trolling motors, the spot lock, how valuable are they in the back this time of year when, again, skinny water, fish can be super shy, they can be aggressive, whatever, but again, in positioning the whole bit, what do you think?
First of all,
wow, Brett Taylor's stuck for words.
if you charter... You need the trolling motor. They're phenomenal. The reason why is this: I'm working a hole. Let's say if I'm working a cove, or if I'm working a tidal creeks, and I'll shut the motor off, the main engine off, and then I can kind of work us. I can work us slowly up, all along every nook and cranny, fish every point, and at every time we stop, we do our fan cast, fish, we don't get a bite, we move on. If we get a bite, we'll stay there until the bite dies, and we keep moving. But they, for boat positioning, they're unbelievable. I mean, it's such a game changer. I mean, for fluke, tog, everything else, it's been like that. For bass, same thing, especially in the back, working these areas, because otherwise you would have to use a push pole in some of these areas. And that, that gets tedious, and then position with the wind, it's just a lot, it's so much easier where you have a remote. And you've seen me. I just control that remote and control the boat, wherever the boat, wherever we go. And if we're, if it's 20 yards, I can motor pretty fast with a trolling motor. It goes, three knots, 3.5 knots, and pulls the skiff. I just motor up to the next one. I don't even have to turn the engine on, because when you're back in those marshes and those tidal creeks, that the motor, you can spook them. You can spook the fish. So you want to keep that's why that trolling motor, if you're going to fish like this, you need it.
Captain Brett, before I let you go, one thing you mentioned positioning, the points, whatever, said in close. What about standing structure? Like some of the areas in the back, and I've seen this back in Delaware Bay, all over. You always find, docks, abandoned docks, pilings up there rotting out. Will bass gravitate to there, like maybe picking up crabs and chasing, spearing? Are they worth it? Hey, the way I cast, you're going to lose something in there. But are they worth exploring this time of year?
Absolutely. They will, just like if you think about largemouth, right? Largemouth will key in on, they'll stay on like brush or a down tree because it will attract some bait fish, and then the largemouth will be there.
Right.
Striped bass are the same thing. That those areas will attract crabs. They'll have grass shrimp all over them. And also you'll have some fish in there. So they're a great spot. So if you find any abandoned, pilings or anything like that, even rock pile, definitely fish around those areas.
Yeah, Brett, one last, Tom P. Sandbagger. I said that was about four questions ago is my last question. Is it pay to have another rod armed with, say, a paddle tail in case they're missing whatever, and right after a miss, like the bass guys do? I've fished the Classic many times with these guys. I've seen them. They'll grab something else right away and toss. And Captain Dave the Rave Shoal down there at Obsecan Bay when he's in the Mulligan, an ace with this. Follow it up with a paddle tail, and could that generate a strike? Like they missed a popper, here's something else. Damn, man, and boom.
Yes, that's it. Yes, I have a ton of rods rigged with other things. So if you do, say you miss one on a popper, have rod with a paddle tail or with a finesse or with a BKD or what's the new ones that I'm just getting starting to use. You have a couple of those. So this way, say you miss with a popper, you totally miss, you bring it back, you throw it again, doesn't hit it. Now switch up, go a little bit subsurface and just real slow, and you 9 times out of 10 that fish that missed the popper, you'll pull a fish out of there with a soft plastic. So yes, it pays 100% to have some additional rods with other things rigged up.
As Captain Brett, he takes him, Taylor says, man, be ready. Captain Brett, thanks for joining us on Rack of Fin. Before I let you go, how is that incredible family, the lovely Jen? I'll tell you, his young Jake went from the evil eye to actually smiling at me once in a while. That was a rarity, wasn't that, Taylor, when I saw you guys? What was that, Home Depot or Lowe's or something?
Depot. Yeah, he was laughing at you. I think it's your voice. He loves your voice. He was laughing. Now everybody's good. Family's good. Luke's doing good. So we're just, getting ready for the season here with fishing.
Luke Taylor, future bullpen ace, and then in the starting rotation for the Baltimore Orioles in 3 or 4 years, mark my words. What's his fastball? I don't even want to get into that. Captain Brett, thanks again. Give that website phone number, please.
Okay, the website is Real Reaction Charters, and that's R-E-E-L. And the phone number is 609-290-7709. My first available booking is not until July.
We knew that, but I had to put that in there. Hey, Captain Brett, again, one more question. Your thoughts on the 28 to 31, and do you get bonus tags, and do you find anything wrong with someone wanting to take a striper home to eat?
I have no problems with anybody wanting to take a striper home to eat. Bonus tags, yes. I think we had 125 tags last year between the two boats, or 175 tags, I should say, between the two vessels. We get the bonus tags for each vessel. I have two vessels there.
Mm-hmm.
The 28 to 31... I have no problem with that. It's especially with the bonus tag, because it actually gives you now, 24 to 31. So recreational anglers, anybody that fishes for bass, it's free. Get
the tag.
Yep. Get your tag. So this way now you're not limited to 28 to 31. You're 24 to 31. And by the way, if you haven't realized, those 24 to 26 inch fish are way better. I mean, they all eat good, but they eat very good, those young fish.
Yum, yum, eat them up, man. Yum, yum,
yeah,
eat them up.
So that's what, and most of my guys know, they realize that, the bigger fish, 32 and above, you got to release. And guys are fun. I have guys that book me just, hey, we don't really want to keep anything. We just want to catch. We want to catch fish on light tackle, really get a nice picture, release them. And usually I can persuade them, hey, let's hit a couple small ones in the back so you can take something home. But those, I'll tell you what, those bonus, the state does for those bonus tags is phenomenal. Yep. And hats off to all those guys, Brendan, Samantha, the guys and girls should say, they're phenomenal with those.
Go to Rag and Fin Radio's podcast, Lacey. We have Brendan Harris on talking about the bonus tax. It's going to start, what, May 15th? You can apply. Captain Brent, yes. Be safe on the water. Best of the family. Hope to see you soon.
Hey, same to you. God bless, buddy.
Take care, brother. A little long on that segment. Be right back. Rag and Fin Radio.
In a world full of fake news, AI, and unverified information on social media, where can you get the latest, most accurate South Jersey news? WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Don't wait for the newspaper to come in the mail. The WPG Talk Radio app is updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Accurate, dependable, reliable. When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. The jury is selected for former President Trump's hush money trial in New York.
What's happening here with the judicial system is an outrage. And all over the world, they're watching it, and all over the world, they're seeing it. This is a giant witch hunt to try and hurt a campaign that's beating the worst president in history.
The former president accused of falsifying business records related to payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Israel strikes back at Iran after Iran launched drones and missiles at Israel. Republican Congressman Mike Waltz says Israel can dominate a conflict with Iran.
The message from Israel to Iran was, you can't hit us. We can hit you. We can hit you in your most sensitive military, your best protected sites.
Waltz appearing on Fox's Hannity. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey for today. A shower in the area early. Otherwise, clouds are mild, breezy by afternoon. High today, 69. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, low 38. Partly sunny, a cooler day tomorrow. The high at 56. Clear skies tomorrow night, low 36. And then mostly sunny, warmer on Monday. The high Monday afternoon at 65. I'm AccuWeather Steve Williams on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio. With Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Yes, the Happy New Year segment. We all know in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens and decodes for a New Year's celebration. Turkey season technically opens today, the Youth Day, and then it kicks off Monday, and it's going to run through, wow, May 24th. Wow, man, that's a long time. Broken up into segments. And we've been talking turkeys now. We had Jimmy Sloan on a couple of weeks ago. This is jamming up. Birds around the south. Central, okay. South loaded north, not so much. I think turkey hunting area 8's not too bad. Join us online right now to talk turkeys. Some early season. That first week of the season, second week can be a little scratchy if you get my drift. They can be, even though they're horny as hell, it's time to mate. Those gobblers can be a little testy. Or, who knows, man. Especially the Jakes, like the young bucks, the 16, 17-year-olds. That's what we call them, the teenagers. Join us online right now is very special guest on Rack and Fin, turkey man himself, Lou Gambale. He is the chairman of the President's Council National Wild Turkey Federation. Just a great guy. A Maze Landing local, Gambale Lou. How's it going? Turkey time!
Good morning, my brother. Always great to be with you, man.
Oh, man. Dee Marie and I are going to be out in, I believe, turkey hunting area 12. Oh, listen, there's still some leftover permits and unclaimed permits available. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. Go to the hunting link. Hit the turkey link and whatever, and you'll see from there. Lou, what are you thinking, man? How's it look down your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, our population is fairly stable. I say that cautiously. There's no question we've got a decline in birds. You'll find them in pockets. And, of course, there's a lot of work and a passion centered around trying to figure this whole thing out across the country. But I would tell you that, you know, for the folks that are going to be hunting in the southern zones, call it 14, 20, 21, 22, 16, yeah, you know, you would expect a reasonably good season. I really do believe so.
Hello, I've been seeing plenty of birds since, again, the flocks, you know, late February, early March, you're splitting them now. Already, I believe, some hens are, they're in the process of laying eggs. Okay, listen, the breakdown of period A, Monday to Friday, April 22nd to the 26th. Period B, April 29th, May 3rd. Period C, May 6th, May 10th. Period D, May 13th and 17th. And May 20th and 24th. Okay, and then period E is the Saturdays. That's going to be April 27th, May 4th, 11th, 18th. So, Lou, plenty of hunting opportunities out there. But Lou, in Europe, and Lou just returned from, Lou, listen to me. Come on, yeah. No offense. And Lou is an animal, a predatory animal when it comes to chasing turkeys. Hey, Lou, you just returned from a three-day hunt in North Carolina, 3 days to get that gobbler mod on to me.
Yeah, I got my butt kicked, and I wasn't until the last day that I had a 2.5-hour chess game with an awesome bird. And look, that's the way I want it to be, and that's the way I think it should be. That's the whole thrill of being able to hunt these great birds is to go out there knowing that if you put a lot of days in, and even if you're fortunate enough to harvest a bird, you're gonna have a pretty low batting average. I mean, you could go one time and by the luck of the draw, you get a bird that comes rushing in and you call it quits, and yeah, you can bat 1,000. But I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna stick my neck out there as many times as I can. Because that's what I enjoy,
Lou. Now, but first couple of weeks here, especially Lou, and we have plenty of public land targeting, especially on public lands. Human competition, and again, you're dealing with coyotes and foxes too. Lou, some tactics upping the odds in the hunter's favor this first week, 2 weeks of the season. What do you have?
Well, there's no question the first week generally is the best week to hunt them. And that doesn't mean that you don't have opportunities every period throughout. But if you look at the numbers will tell you that story. What I'd say is this, a couple of things. One, specific to public land, that it's the best time to hunt the birds because they've not been pressured yet. And what I love about our permit system, and, there's no perfect science across the country. I've hunted 25 states for turkeys. I've seen every version of license, permit, But in our system, what's good about it is you're limited to the amount of hunters you're going to have in each zone each week. So when you're a public land hunter, and we've got some really good public land hunting in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
You get an opportunity to go in there a week, and the birds are not pressured yet. So you can tackle the bird, square up. He's not been pushed around. He hasn't heard every call that's been on the market. So you're able to really maybe get a setup on a bird. If you've done your scouting, you can get in on that bird and get a reasonably good hunt, a reasonably good opportunity. I'm not sure how many 2-year-old birds are running around this year. Obviously, if we've got a healthy population of 2-year-olds, that can make me look really good, even on my worst day of calling. So we hope for those. But setup wise, if you're a decoy user, and this is a loaded question, but I know I get them all the time. If you're a decoy user, personally, I like a 3/4 strut Jake and maybe a submissive hen and one other hen, either a feeding or a alert hen as a setup. If you only go submissive hen and Jake, that's fine. If you want to go hen and Jake, that's fine. I like it because it's not going to offend a 2-year-old, and it's not going to offend a mature gobbler. The only risk factor you have is sometimes if you've got a bunch of Jakes in an area and they've been deviling a gobbler and he sees a Jake, you might think it's a setup and he don't come in. But more times than not early in the season, I think that's the decoy setup that's going to work well for you. I'm kind of a 70-30 guy. I use decoys sparingly, but a lot of folks – look, when they work, they're great. When they don't work, hurry up, get up, take them down, and start over again. That's what I tell folks.
Lou, question, what kind of calling now with that setup? Are you aggressive? You're like,
calling, look, for me, it's always, and I really, I get in a week especially, but even every week, if you want to get into birds or gobbling, I start them with a very, very simple, and you've heard me do this, simple little tree yelp in the morning, that little real subtle, and then maybe a not much to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You sit up, that bird's going to hear you sometimes a couple hundred yards away. Don't underestimate their ears. If you get in a situation where he's locked up with a bunch of hens and they're chattering it up, and he's gobbling, and best thing you can do there is just get in there, just listen to what the hens are doing, and What you want to do then is you want to get as tight on that gobbler as you can. I tell people, when the birds are on the roost and you know you've got hens in the area, this is where you got to get in early. You got to be stealthy. You got to move very slowly. You got to use the woods as your backdrop. Don't walk down the middle of the field like a gaping silhouette.
He said that for my benefit too, man. I'm getting hammered on both sides here from Brett Taylor and Luke Gumbale.
Yeah, well, you know, and you get in as tight on him as you can because then your chance is he pitches down to you before the hens get to him.
Lou, it's a chess match.
It absolutely is. The essence of the great turkey hunt is it is a chess match. And it's you're battling a lot of variables, right? Your setups are everything. This bird I just hunted down here last week. Well, it was Monday. I got the bird. The setup was what actually made it for me because he only came in right behind me at about 10 yards because he couldn't see me from where he wanted to. And, you know, had I not put a bunch of cover behind me, he'd have had me, you know. So fortunately, I let him blow and go behind me for 10 minutes and then finally let him stew and get frustrated. And he walked down and I hit him soft and he stormed back out into the lane I needed him to. But it doesn't always work that way. But for that case, it did. So, you know, I tell folks, and this is, look, A, B, C, D, E, you know, setup is critical. If you're hunting in a blind, you're in a blind. That's, you know, that if that's your thing, obviously you're in a blind and you're that's where your battle is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the ground, I love to hunt on the ground because I want the ability to move a little bit when I have to. I think it's important. If you're calling too long in one place and you got a bird that's hung up on you, and most folks know this, you can move 50 yards and change your whole hunt. You just got to know when to move and be cautious. And me, I'm picking out before I move. I'm looking at where I want to get to. And when I go, I go. I'm like, that's it. I'm getting there. Boom. I'm getting back down on the ground. I want to get started again.
Okay, Jones on the record fan line this morning is Lou Gumbale, chairman of the President's Council, National Wild Turkey Federation. Lou, we're up against a hard break. Have you in for another short segment? Lou, one thing I want to ask you, let's talk a little bit about the Wild Turkey Federation and the work they're doing. But one thing I have to ask you, Lou, we get over to the next segment, about, you know, the no stalking. When is it when you're following a gobbler, okay, he's on that other side of the ridge, when are you stalking or when are you not? Okay, think about that. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, Americans who feel that life is too expensive are looking overseas at options, even in their working years. Also, how artificial intelligence could play a role in preventing the next bridge disaster like the one in Baltimore. Plus, at the big box store, what air fryers and gold bars have in common, and the latest trends in wellness travel like a poolside IV drip. That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Joe's on the line is Lou Gumbale. We're talking turkeys. The question I posed to Mr. President, I mean, I'm so proud of Lou. I mean, he worked away from long beards up to wow. Is when is it stalking? When is it not? You hear a gobbler off on the other side of a field or two fields over, or if you're up north, you're on one of the ridges or something. When is it stalking, which is illegal in Jersey, and when is it not? Lou, we only have a couple of minutes because I want to talk about the Federation. Differentiate, please.
All right, a couple quick scenarios. When you're improving your position or your setup on a bird, that's not stalking. All right? In other words, you've been sitting in one spot, you relocate. You're trying to get a better position and get a different angle, give the bird a different angle from calling. That's not stalk. Stalking, crawling across a field, sneaking up on the bird. He's in a field. He's strutting. There's a building. You sneak up on the corner of the building and pop out and shoot him. You go in somebody's building and crack the window open and shoot him. That's stalking. And we're not allowed to fan or reap a bird, which is the same as stalking, using a fan and crawling across the field.
Lou, I saw that down south. I said, you know, man, I'm a daring dude, but I said, whoa, man, that is a little dicey, isn't it?
And in New Jersey, it's illegal, and that's stalking. So hopefully that clears it up. And that question does come up a lot, and it's you could say there's some gray in it, but when you really separate it, it's really not gray. Once you get out there and you start really thinking about it, it's not gray.
Lou, let's talk Wild Turkey Federation. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Go, brother. This is your oyster. Open it up.
Well, look, we're doing a lot of great work. We need all the turkey hunters. Not just we're a conservation organization. Joining our flock, every dollar counts. In New Jersey right now, we're going to probably improve, close to 500-600 acres of WMA this year. We've got an awesome program going. Fish and Wildlife has been phenomenal working with us in the three land zones. We're putting in warm season grasses. We're putting in food plots. We're doing improvements, and we're going to continue to escalate that with the partnership we have with them. In terms of research, we were able to fund with matched dollars almost $100,000 of the turkey research. And I will tell you, harking back what you said, through our research right now, we've got 4 of our hens already incubating. We've got one hen that she's coming up next week on right about the end of the week on her 28th day. So we hope to be able to realize some poults. Some of the birds bred early. So again, this thing is rocking and rolling, and we want that, right? We want our gobblers to breed our hens before we go out and harvest them. It's very important. So a lot of great work. I mean, again, we do work with kids. We do work we partner with the Fish and Wildlife with the mentored hunts. We've got the ladies hunt coming up that we've been doing. I think it'll be our 4th year with Joe Lesky and Tiffany, and they do a phenomenal job with that, and we're proud to be a part of that.
Shout out to Jimmy Sloan, too. Come on, man. Jimmy's the man.
Jimmy's my brother, man. I know Jimmy from the day he hit the ground here with New Jersey Fish. I love working with Jimmy. I get such a kick out of working with him, and really happy to have him run a point for us on our turkey biology. He's really a good dude. And, we got a nice thing going here in New Jersey right now. I'm proud of our chapters. I'm proud of our volunteers. They've stepped up, and they're raising a lot of good money. I'm proud of our attendees at our events. I mean, those people are priceless. These people come out and spend their hard-earned money, and we just want to prove to them that we are putting that money back and making a difference in conservation. And I mean that. That's our commitment, and it's important.
Lou Gambale, very well said. Give the Turkey Federation website, please.
You can either go to nwtfnewjersey.com or .org or nwtf.org. If you go to nwtf.org, that's our national website. It's really a great site. It's going to give you everything you want to see about. You can go in. You can look at the states. Each state's got their own page. And then, again, I $35. You join our organization. If you join online, you get a Bass Pro card. It costs you $10 to join. Your money's going to a great place. You're going to get an awesome magazine every other month. It's going to tell you about what we're doing. It's well put together. And, it's one of those organizations. You can be proud to be a member of our organization. 88 cents of a dollar goes to the mission.
That is 88 cents. That's fantastic.
It's out there. It's public information. We're proud of that.
Hey, Lou, God spares. We'll see you in the woods or out of the woods sometime, man. You have a great spring, we're going to get do some calling sometime, bro. I saw a photo of you with a plunger call. Very successful. Those little boxes. You told me, Tom P. practice with it. It works, and it does, Ed. It does.
I did that for my buddy Mike Lapp because he builds a great one, and I thought I better carry this thing out one day and call up a bird with it. So I did.
Lou, take care, man. Best of the family. Oh, by the way, real fast, so I got 35 seconds going. Tell us about your son's YouTube channel. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Endless Season or Horn Hub Outdoors. Check him out. He's pretty darn talented with a camera. I get a kick out of it. He's got a great site. He's got some cool merchandise. And he really appeals to the millennials and the Gen X and Gen Zers that are so valuable to keep this great tradition going. I hope everybody has an awesome, safe season. Go out and make a bunch of great memories. And whether you get a bird or not, just get out there and enjoy yourself.
Well said. Now, Gambale, you have to go, but not before you make an out. You are going to give me your turkey brajol recipe, correct?
I will send that to you. Well, I'm not going to kid you, though. Without my butcher, I need his help because he pounds out those cutlets for me and really, he does a great job for me. So I'm kind of lost without Dan and down at Hoof the Pack.
I'll be waiting, Lou. I'll be waiting. Yeah. Take care, man. Brother. Have a great season.
I love you, brother.
Take care, man. And that'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Well, we know he was a guest on Rack and Fin Radio many times, a warrior for the hunter, fisherman, trapper, rights, outdoors enthusiasts all around. Ed Markowski, former deputy chief, fish and wildlife, law enforcement, passed a couple weeks ago. I don't know what happened last week. I just want to get to it now. We're going to have a little bit more about Ed in the upcoming weeks. Just a great man, a warrior, an infighter for the rights of hunters, anglers, and trappers, and outdoor enthusiasts in the state. His passing just is leaving a huge hole that hopefully can be filled. Go to NJOA if you want to make a donation, which we're doing for the passing to benefit. It's just it was a big loss, just a big loss that can never. I don't think. Well, we shall see. We'll soldier on. Ed, I will see you on the other side. I could just see now. Not unless I see you first, Tommy P. Ed Markowski, we're going to miss you. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Happy New Year. Get out there and enjoy the turkey season. Trout still being stocked. Drum around. Stripers around. It is indeed a crazy time. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.